Bible study. Let's get in. And I'm so thankful. Just had such a rush of the Spirit to get in here tonight and rejoice in the Word of God with you. But we're studying Jonathan. And for those that might be visiting, and Jonathan, that wonderful companion and brother in the Lord to David. And if you'd open your Bibles, we're going to be in 1 Samuel chapter 20. And what the Lord is just continues to reveal and placed on our heart is this beauty in type, shadow, metaphor, allegory, whatever you want to call it, but let's just call it bridal truth, of the representation of this relationship between Jonathan and David. And just the power, praise God, of the word of the Lord and the immensity of his love to us, and how the bride, his wife, has been on his heart even before he ever set a star in heaven. And we see it all throughout the Word of God. And I thank the Lord that I believe, yes, the Lord has given his Word to have one interpretation. But I'll tell you what, there's layers within that. Layers of enlightenment and understanding, and layers of depths and truth. And I believe God is bringing us the much the more in this day. It's because he's coming. And this world is ever darkening, but I'll tell you what, there is a glory that's ever building. And those that love his appearing, it's shining brighter. And I encourage you, don't sit on the sidelines. Don't see it from afar off. Get in there. Because it's for you. It is for you. And don't let it pass you by. But we left off last week, and we saw Jonathan in chapter 20 committing and pledging again and again his devotion for David, the anointed, confirming, reassuring David. And I love that in verse 4, he said of the 20th chapter, "Whatsoever thy soul desires, I'll do it." And to get to that point, David was pressing Jonathan about his devotion. And I was just so thankful again to think about it all week, just how the Lord does to us. Just like he did with Peter. "Peter, do you love me? Do you love me? Come on now, let's quit beating around the bush. Let's quit playing. Do you love me?" You know, we're not coming through here so we can just recite and something here. Is this yours? This is yours. And this devotion that he wants to hear. The Lord loves to hear our words of love to him. And the only way that's going to come forth is we need to hear his words of love for us and to understand them. That comes by the Holy Ghost. But when we fall in love is something different. And I'm thankful to God. I'm grateful that, I love you. I love my brethren and all that. And I love naturally people. I love my mom and my dad and different ones. And I say, "I love you." But there's only one I say, "I'm in love with you." And that's my wife. And there's a difference. And the Lord wants us to bring us into that. He's in love with us. And we need to be in love with him. Get it? Praise God, and he'll bring it. So the encouragement we have here is from our Lord and Savior, that when we fall in love with him, it's that love that causes us to surrender. I've been meditating on many things of this, and David, we see, or Jonathan a couple different times, he goes out from among the camp and he meets David in secret because David needs to be hiding because Jonathan's daddy is trying to kill David. Now Jonathan goes out to see David, but you'll notice Jonathan never brings him anything. He doesn't bring him food and clothing and sustenance and all of that. It's not a servant relationship. Jonathan comes out to bring him comfort, to bring him that fellowship, that love of the soul. There's a worship in that. And there's a type in that, just like Mary, when she was at the feet of Jesus, just worshiping and crying and anointing his feet. Chose the better part. Martha was upset with that. "You need to be working like we are." Well, I don't know how many times we can say it, but I'm so thankful. I'll continue to say it till I see him. You're born to be a king. As a matter of fact, you're born a king. You're born a little lord of all. And he wants you to grow up into that wonderful inheritance that we have in Christ through the birth, the new birth, praise God, that we have in that we now are born of God as children of God, the sons of God. And
If we don't grow up into that knowledge, we remain a servant in the kingdom. That's what it tells us in Galatians 4. It gives us that very clearly. If you don't grow up, even though you could have been and should have been, because that's what your heritage is. That's what that wonderful life of Christ that lives in you is. It's to grow up into him in all things, not to continue and remain a baby. That's why the Word of God says to grow up. All throughout the Word of God, all throughout Paul's epistles especially, it's all about the intensity of growing up fully and not remaining a child, not remaining ignorant to the things of God. Getting off of milk. The foundation's been laid. Amen? Don't need to come down here and be saved over and over. What sadness that people think that that's what they need to do. That foundation's been laid. That atonement's been made. That birth has happened. Now grow up. Amen. So we're thankful that when we fall in love with him, it's his love that transforms us and transforms us into surrendering. The love of Jesus in us causes us to be obedient. We don't try to be obedient. It's love that causes us to be obedient. And even in our natural lives, that's what will win through. You can threaten someone and have them to operate out of fear, but that's not obedience. That's just survival. But love is willing. Love is it's a pleasure. I'm thankful to be a prisoner of your love. Isn't that awesome? Praise God. I'm thankful to be captive of my Lord and Savior. I'm thankful that I'm his, that he bought me with the precious blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. So this is wonderful, that it's love that causes us to be willing. And the only way that love comes is to know the love of Christ. It comes through knowledge, doesn't it? Knowledge, studying the Word of God, hearing the Word of God, fellowship in the Word of God, and continuing in that. Amen? I want to stay in love. The Lord's been really encouraging my heart. I think we'll have something for Sunday about being in love and staying in love. You know, you can be in love and kind of fall out of in love. That's called first love or waving a palm. I don't know necessarily how to say it in a lot of different ways, but it's true. He wants you in the midst of that throne with him, doesn't he? Praise the Lord. We know that. That's his desire for each and every one of us. But when we fall in love, we let God and we let him do of his good pleasure in us. And we know what he desires as we know the Word of God. He desires that our faith be tried. He desires for us to have that place with him, but it comes one way, by suffering together with Christ. As we know that love and enter into that love, there will come suffering. And we see this in Jonathan. And as this life of Jonathan has been growing in love and that soul love of David's, and we've seen very clearly that that's the love for the grace of God. That's loving God's anointed. And as we fall deeper and deeper with that one, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the suffering will come. The separations will come. Amen. And even separation, and as it always types in the Word of God, it's separation from family, ones that love you. But yet that first love draws you away, as the Word of God that says that those lovers will leave their home and they'll join with one another. And it didn't mean that the home was bad. It was just that the first love was too great. I got to get there. It doesn't matter what the cost is, I'm going. And as I told you about with Polly, no matter how bad the furniture was, you know, she wanted to come up and be with me. And that's the truth. You know, that's what love does. It makes you giddy. Now, he wants this suffering together with him because his soul desires a wife. And I love that. Jesus desires a wife. He desires each and every one of our souls to fall in love with him. But once again, that only happens as the beginning of this relationship between Jonathan and David. David was standing there with the head of Goliath in his hand. And he was standing before Saul, and he was standing in that throne room. He had just taken the head the head of Goliath in his hand. And he's standing before Saul. Amazing, this maybe 12-year-old boy is standing with this giant head. And they knew he had just defeated that Goliath. But yet there was only one that it said fell in love with his soul. And that was Jonathan. And the reason was is because he heard his words all the way to the end. Everybody was looking at probably Goliath's head. Everybody was thinking, how did this 12-year-old kid do this? Everybody was probably just so excited about the event. But Jonathan heard the soul of the anointed of God. And he fell in love with grace. That's the point that God is bringing out to us. It's the grace of God and falling in love with grace. And we've seen this transformation in Jonathan and this willingness of Jonathan to be so confirmed in his devotion to David because he loved God's anointing. He loved God's grace. So, we get to this point that Jonathan and David devise a plan. Jonathan is going to go out into the field to meet David because David's been hiding, because David has had to hide from Saul because Saul was going to kill him. Jonathan was going to shoot 3 arrows out there in the field. He'll have this little guy with him to go fetch his arrows. And if those arrows would land short of where that little lad was, that means David was safe. If it went beyond that little lad, it meant that Saul was still out to kill David. So, with that, Jonathan returns to Saul to the throne room to perceive what his father's heart is towards David. Before they're going to go ahead and shoot these arrows, Jonathan goes back to Saul to see if his dad's heart is still enraged and hateful towards David or if it has ceased. So, tonight, I believe this type and shadow and metaphor of the bride of Christ in Jonathan only gets more abundant. So let's be ready here. Verse 25, chapter 20, let's begin reading. And the king sat upon his seat, as at other times, even upon a seat by the wall. Jonathan arose, and Abner sat by Saul's side, and David's place was empty. David would always come in. Remember, he was never to leave Saul's place. And David had his place right there by the king. Nevertheless, Saul spake not anything that day. For here's what his thought was. Something hath befallen him. He is not clean. Surely he is not clean. Speaking of David. See, Saul really had nice thoughts for David, didn't he? And it came to pass on the morrow, which was the second day of the month, that David's place was empty. And Saul said unto Jonathan his son, wherefore cometh not the son of Jesse to meet, neither yesterday nor today? Jonathan answered Saul, David earnestly asked leave of me to go to Bethlehem. And he said, let me go, I pray thee, for our family hath a sacrifice in the city. And my brother, he hath commanded me to be there. And now if I have found favor in thine eyes, let me get away, I pray thee, and let me see my brethren. Therefore he cometh not unto the king's table. Then Saul's anger was kindled against Jonathan. That's his own son. And he said unto him, thou son of the perverse, rebellious woman, do not I know that thou hast chosen the son of Jesse to thine own confusion and to the confusion of thy mother's nakedness? For as long as the son of Jesse lives upon the ground, thou shalt not be established nor thy kingdom. Wherefore now send and fetch him unto me, for he shall surely die. And Jonathan answered Saul his father and said unto him, wherefore shall he be slain? Why shall you kill him? What hath he done? And Saul cast a javelin at him to smite him, whereby Jonathan knew that it was determined of his father to slay David. So Jonathan arose from the table in fierce anger and did eat no meat the second day of the month, for he was grieved for David because his father had done him shame. And it came to pass in the morning that Jonathan went out into the field at the time appointed with David, and a little lad was with him. And he said unto this little lad, run, find out now the arrows which I shoot. And as the lad ran, he shot an arrow beyond him. And when the lad was come to the place of the arrow which John had shot, Jonathan cried after that lad and said, is not the arrow beyond thee? And Jonathan cried after the lad, make speed, haste, stay not. And Jonathan's lad gathered up the arrows and came to his master. But the lad knew not anything, only Jonathan and David knew the matter.
And Jonathan gave his artillery unto his lad, and said unto him, Go carry them to the city. And as soon as the lad was gone, David arose out of a place toward the south. And he fell on his face to the ground, and he bowed himself 3 times. And they kissed one another and wept one with another until David exceeded. And Jonathan said to David, Go in peace. For inasmuch as we have sworn both of us in the name of the Lord, saying, The Lord be between me and thee, and between my seed and thy seed forever. And he arose and departed, and Jonathan went into the city. Now, we see Jonathan, as we begin here in verse 25, he gets up from the table. It says he arose, and it says it twice. And let that be an encouragement to us, brothers and sisters. They that will stand will always rise up. They will. If you're going to stand for the Lord, you're going to have to rise up. Verse 26, Saul continues on in his detest and defiance of the grace of God. He doesn't want it. You can say he doesn't get it. Well, it doesn't matter. It's kind of one and the same. He's refused it. He's rejected it. Once again, we think about that grace. Israel was in trouble. Israel was in turmoil. Israel was going to be completely defeated by the Philistines. Their army was in fear. And what did God choose? An 11, 12-year-old boy that was going to go out into battle against the mighty Goliath. 8'11" of him, or whatever it would have been, or more. The sword, the pounds, the armament that he had, his helmet, all of those things. And David faces that giant with a sling and 5 stones. And he said, You've come to me with all of this, you uncircumcised Philistine. But I come to you in the name of the Lord God of hosts. I hope everything's just standing up on your body right now. And that's what God chose. God chose and always chooses grace. The grace of God was with David. It wasn't David's strength. It wasn't his might. It wasn't his ability. It was exactly what God had given, which was his grace. David, as it says in the Word of God, he was the one that God used to save Israel, to basically save the kingdom, of which Saul was the king. You would think that Saul would be glad and happy that his kingdom was saved. David didn't want the credit for it. He gave glory to God. But yet Saul was incensed with jealousy. And what God had sent to save Israel in that absolute miracle, Saul despised. He hated it. And he hated it more and more. He was jealous of the grace of God. Do you understand that? Our old nature is jealous of the grace of God. Because our old nature wants to be magnified. Our old nature wants to be lifted up. As opposed to the beauty, the miracle of it all, the grace of God. And only the new man will worship that grace. Only the new man will be encouraged and want to lift up the grace of God. But see, old Saul, he didn't want to do that. He detested it. And look what he said there in verse 26. He said, something bad has happened to David because he's not clean. Do you know that that still goes on today? Do you know that that's how many think about us? Who so love the grace of God? They love the grace of God because they're not clean. They're not upright enough. I think about that sweet sister of Brother Hill's. Duluth, I appreciate you preach grace, but don't preach it too much. They'll go wild. I want you to go wild. Wild in the grace of God. Amen? Wild in the power and the mighty mercy that you're loved with. That's what will change you from glory to glory as you hear the Word of God and grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You'll grow up. You'll grow up as one like a Jonathan.
even though so privileged. Everything naturally would be handed to him. Naturally, that even his dad was trying to say all the time to encourage Jonathan, you should be lifted up, Jonathan. This is your right. This is what you naturally have. And yet it was despised. It was despicable to Jonathan because he wanted God's choice. He wanted God's grace. Amen? Do you want God's choice for your life? Do you want God's grace for your life? If you do, you want his best. And by the grace of God, let's yield to it. But this is what's so amazing here. But see, that's what happens when people detest the grace of God. And I'm talking about Christians, the family of God. They will hate you for loving the grace of God. And remember, they're not hating you. As Jesus said, they'll hate you because they hated me. That's it. And it's interesting. You notice David's place, he's gone. Well, sure. Now, the grace of God's always there, but if you're going to chase it out, I guess, like Saul's table, it was literally, grace was gone. You know that? You know, there's a lot of people that like to sit down and think that they're going to feast without grace. You'll never have truth without grace. You'll never have that growth that you could have without the grace of God. So, in verse 30, there's a real turning point that happens now in this precious story. And that turning point, praise God, is Saul's anger now goes from David to Jonathan. The beautiful son, his incredible son. And I think of all of the incredible sons and daughters that we've been given in this meeting. Could you even imagine that you would hate your child like that? But that's what happens when we turn from the grace of God. That's what happens when the mind of Christ doesn't reign. Saul hates Jonathan because Jonathan stands with grace. And when we stand with grace, we'll be hated too. You will be hated by the closest relationship around you if they do not lay hold of grace and you go on in grace. Look how incensed this says about Saul. He was like a wild animal ready to devour. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And think right where Saul went. I'm going to go real low. I'm going to talk about your mom. He went right after the heart of Jonathan. Because you can imagine Jonathan's a sweet fella. Man, you better not be talking about my mom, huh? You know, now you've stepped in something there. But see, he went right after the mom. He said, son of the perverse, rebellious woman. You know that's our mom? Her name is Grace. And when you go after Grace, I'll tell you what, they won't understand you and they'll think you're rebellious. Precious brother here even recently told you, he said, oh, you and Copley, you're just all wrong. I said, wow, man, I get mentioned in the likes of that. I guess, Lord, I got the mark. And it's not the man, but it's the mark of the man. It's the mark of the woman. You mark those that followed Paul as he followed Christ. But it was amazing. All of the good you could ever do to somebody and all the encouragement. But I'll tell you what, when they want their works and servitude, I guess, to be lifted up, they'll hate you, no matter how much you've done. And I'm sad, but you stand in the grace of God, and God will deal with it. And you let God deal with it, and it's amazing what God will do. So you pray for one another, but you think about out of the abundance of his heart, he went right after his mom. Mother Grace, praise God. That's what this type is. The self-righteous hate Mother Grace. That is what they think of her. They think that in their dirty self-righteousness, but I'll tell you what, we love Mother Grace, don't we? Amen. Amen, we do. That's the mother of us all. Now notice, Saul even admits here that David is the chosen. This is what's amazing. He's God's choice. Grace is always God's choice. But I'll tell you what legality does to you. It makes you insane. Legality will make you insane. When you turn to your flesh, you'll be nuts. You won't think right, you won't act right. And I'm talking about naturally speaking, you will go nuts. You'll hate your family. I've seen it over and over in this meeting, and not very many times, but I'm thankful, but I've seen people do that. I've been in courtrooms before where parents and grandparents have tried to destroy their whole entire family because of legality. It's a disease. Fight. Let this mind be in you. This mind be in you. That helmet of salvation, amen. And oh, the salvation we've been called to, salvation with eternal glory. Praise God. So, here we go. He admits that he's chosen. Grace is always God's choice. But see, Saul's pride still goes against that grace. And once again, he goes after Mother Grace. He goes on to say, you're confused. But see, he's the one that's confused. And here's the amazing thing. Isn't grace truly the most simple thing that there could ever be? If you really think about grace, think of this. It's free. It's unmerited. It's not earned. It's just given. It's mine. It's never taken away. And he chose us because he loved us. There isn't anything more simple than that. I really believe that grace is the absolute simplistic thing of everything. Yet to them that resist grace, it's the hardest thing to be understood. And in their confusion, they'll turn mad. And they'll turn mad against it. You think about legality and think about the religions of this world that follow legality. Works, servants, all of that. The most hateful religions in the world. And throughout history, it's never changed, and it's not changing today. But even our brethren, even us, but for the grace of God, we get mighty hateful real quick when we begin to get legal. We'll turn against one another. Doesn't mean we condone sin, but we always love. We always want to be about restoring. Amen? And by the grace of God, to truly, even when the wounds of a friend are better than the kisses of an enemy, that wound is done in love. I pray it would be. Amen. All right. So, verse 31, Saul once again admits the wonders of grace, but yet he still refuses it. He tells Jonathan, as long as David is alive, son, you're never going to be king. Well, sure, Dad, I know that. Hasn't it been obvious that I've chosen grace? Amen? Grace took away all my natural and selfish desires. Did you not see that marvelous work that the Lord did of me? Right there in the throne room, Dad, when I took off my garments, I took my bow, my sword, I gave my bow. Huh? Amen. And I just sit there and I go, oh my. And then even my girdle. Whew. That love stripped me of everything. There wasn't anything left. It was all him. That testimony was there from day one. And praise God, I think of it this way. Dad, I'm going to take the place in the body of Christ that God has for me. Amen. Amen. And I'm thankful for that. And I think even us as parents, I thank God that we can have a vision for our kids and desire for our kids to go on and do different things. And we want to encourage them to be all that they can be and all that. This last weekend, I was sitting by somebody and they have accumulated quite a few things. And they have children. And so basically their idea is, this person was telling me, all of their children are going to take over all of the stuff that they've done. And they're going to continue on with it and build it up and do all these different things. And this individual knew that at one time God had given me a company. He said, didn't you ever think that for your child? I said, oh, absolutely not. They were shocked. And they said, well, why? I said, well, I'll give you a quick story. I saw people of great wealth. I dealt with them. And I traveled out one time to see a man that owned a professional sports team and one of the largest banking chains in the world. And I sat there in their big corporate boardroom. And I'm telling you, that boardroom was on the top of a skyscraper, and it was at least as big as this half a row right here from top to bottom. It was the most amazing thing you'd ever seen. Sitting out there looking all over Minneapolis. And I remember how that man, and very respected that man and all that, but his interaction with his sons, to me, was so demeaning, was so sad. I never wanted to have that kind of interaction with my children. And I'm thankful to God. The last thing I ever wanted my kids to do was what Dad did, except for, by the grace of God, going after the Lord with all your heart, soul, and mind. The after effect after that, go for it. And I mean it. And go for it with all to the Lord. Earnestly, heartily is unto the Lord. But by the grace of God, whatever they're doing, as long as it's all heart, soul, and might to the Lord, by the grace of God, let them be doing anything, Lord. Amen. I know that's right. So let's take that from the Lord. But Saul was so angry at hearing that, he couldn't even speak the name David. You know when you get so mad at somebody, you can't even say their name? You know, so-and-so's kid did this. Oh, he's one of the blah-blahs. I just think it was funny. He could not even utter the name David. He was so upset. But how good God is, he refers to him as Jesse's son. Grace's son. He's grace. So see, even in his defiance, he was still magnifying the Lord. Stupid Pharaoh did the same thing. I'll use him to magnify me. And I'd say thank you, Jesus, for that. But Saul was even more emboldened in the hatred of grace. He's not making it shy. He's not even being tricky anymore. He said, get him for me. I want to kill him. But I believe that this is so beautiful. Jonathan knows that his dad has detested him now. And Jonathan stands up again. It says he arose. He rises up. And he testifies once again to his dad. He says, Dad, this heart of David is pure towards you. He's been a benefit. He's been a blessing. Grace. He doesn't have a blemish in the way he operates with you. But right after that, the defining moment of suffering together, Saul picks up that javelin, the same one that he threw right at David. He tries to stick his son right with it. And at that moment, praise be to God, suffering together with Christ. Just as Paul said, you will suffer in like manner. And the word of the Lord is true, and it's so wonderful when we choose these things. It'll be painful. But I love how Jonathan's response is. It wasn't, oh, I'm so sad, Dad. Why don't you change, Dad? Why don't... No, Jonathan has godly anger. And Jonathan gets up and he refuses. I mean, I shouldn't say he refuses. He detests the defiance of his dad toward the grace of God. And Jonathan grieves not for his dad. He grieves for David. Has that hit you? I'm sad that people don't go on with the Lord, but I'll tell you what, when they come up against my God, there's a godly anger, but I grieve. And I thank the Lord there's been a grieving in that long time back, and I never really understood that. Even when I was younger, there was a person that I cared for, and God took care of that so divinely. They came up against the Lord, and they were saved. That caring for was gone in the natural. It was over. I wanted that person spiritually to go on, but the care was gone, naturally speaking. And my heart, the way that God did that, is I hurt for the Lord. How could they say that against you, my love? That was the love of my life. That was my God. And I thank the Lord he showed me. Hallelujah. This is the heart that I will grow up in you. And this was so sweet because
He grieved for David because of the hatred for the anointed. This is the true love. His heart was ravished. His commitment, his allegiance, his devotion was to God's anointed. And by the grace of God, would our heart be in tune with that for our precious Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. See, that's the love of the truth. So, as we go on, Jonathan, knowing his father's heart of hatred towards God's anointed, you know what Jonathan does? He goes out from among the camp. And he knows that the only way to be comforted, and who he wants to comfort as well to, is that the lover of his soul. He takes the little lad to fetch the arrows. Notice that in verse 39. It says, the little lad knew not anything, only Jonathan and David knew the matter. Mentioned that a little bit last week. The children in Christ, they never do come to an understanding. They have a zeal, but not according to knowledge. Oh, they always want to get out there and go and do something, but they have no idea what's going on. This is the truth. This is exactly what this is. And see, they operate as servants. That little lad wanted to get out there and fetch arrows and do all that, whereas Jonathan was getting out there to be comforted and to comfort, to praise and to love. By the grace of God, let us know that in our walk with the Lord. God is seeking the true worshiper that worships his Son in spirit and in truth. And I thank the Lord for that, that all of this coming at this time, and it's always perfect timing. It's been perfect timing for my life. I've needed this comfort of this scriptures to my heart right now. There's been some very difficult things that God has brought, but he's brought the truth. Amen. And he's brought the difficult things with the truth to grow me up in him in all things. Isn't that the way he does it? Yeah, the word's always there. Word's always there. And it's miraculous how he'll bring forth the word in such abundance. And it's always on time. I was thinking time and time again through this meeting, different phases and different things we've had at times. Yet in Bible studies, how things that were going on, maybe in the meeting, maybe in different lives, God always brings the word. And it's always on time. And it's always all powerful. And it always just gets right down to the core of it. Why was I worrying? What was I wrestling about when God was so for me and the battle's been won? And then he shows you that beautiful truth, and it's like, oh, honey, I never forgot you. Now, come on, you know? Oh, I thought I was all alone, you know? And he lets you know that you're never alone, praise God. But see, in verse 40, I love this, and I see many things in this. I think it's a type, as he says, and Jonathan gave his artillery unto his lad and said, unto him, go carry them to the city. And then he embraces with David and all. And I think someday by grace, I'm going to fly away. Hallelujah. And I'm going to give them all the stuff I got here. And you go back to the city. I'm going to the place of departure. And I thank God about that, you know. There's a lot of things to bring out of this. And then it says, David, he arises from the south. I think about our Lord. He's always in that lowly place. He always gets below us, doesn't he? It says that he even cried twice as much here as David. See, we might have sorrow, but he's even got more. We might have a heart that hurts, but his heart even hurts more because he's God, and that's how he loves us. And again, that's that soul of his that just so loves us. It's so beautiful. And Jesus, the man, but yet very God, a very God. There just couldn't be anything better, and there's not. It's just so beyond man, but that's God. And that's our Savior, and that's the plan of God, and how wonderful it is. But even though this sorrow that you see here as we end this little section of our study tonight, it said that they both got up and they cried and different things like that, and there's sorrow and there's sadness here because Jonathan's going to leave. And I know that people, and I love the encouragement of the truth that we've had in many different ways, that people can look at the truth and be encouraged in different ways. There's a study on this that we have, that this is almost kind of like the end of the story, that one person saw this as, well, Jonathan chose to go back to Saul and didn't really want to go on with David. I can understand that, but I don't see that. I don't.
Matter of fact, I think you got to get to chapter 23, which is next week. And if you think the type and shadow was heavy tonight, you're going to see something that'll just blow you away. The words, the intimacy, the bridal rapture, God willing, will be in the 23rd chapter next week. You're going to see that. And I think that there's so much love and devotion here that I want to talk about something a little bit different tonight in this precious story. It is incredible. David falls to the ground, it says here, doesn't it? Notice how it says there in verse 41, and as soon as the lad was gone, David arose out of the place toward the south and fell on his face to the ground and bowed himself three times, and they kissed one another and wept with one another until David exceeded. I love this. You always hear, and I'm sure we always wonder too, what will I do when I see Jesus? You ever thought what Jesus will do when he sees you? You know, he hasn't seen his wife face to face yet either, in a way. You know what I'm saying. And the one thing he hasn't seen either, when she sees him, she'll be like him. Why don't you think about that? He got me thinking about that. He says, you're always thinking about what you'll do when you see me. You ever think about what I'm going to do when I see you? She's the Lamb's wife. Doesn't say she's God's wife, even though he's very God of very God. But it always says the Lamb's wife. Jesus had to be made a man. He had to become a man to die. What will he do when he sees you? I don't know if he... Does he catch his breath? Or oh, hallelujah. I better just kind of stop here. Some of these things I've seen, as the Word of God says, maybe are not worthy to be uttered. Amen. But it's going to be wonderful. There's going to be rejoicing. There's going to be a surprise. There's going to be ravishing and awe. And he's going to be ravished and in awe of the masterpiece of his grace. What will he and how will he respond when he sees the one that is like him? Now, it says three times there's such honor that he, again, bows to the ground. Three times. I think of the Trinity in this. To the Father, hallelujah, the plan. What a plan, amen. The Spirit, praise God, the power that was given for us. And we know what that power is. It's the love of Christ. Amen. And then the Son, the Lamb, the husband. Praise God. Oh, what a trinity of God is working in us. But finally in verse 42, and I love how this ends. Jonathan said to David, go in peace, for inasmuch as we have sworn both of us in the name of the Lord. Notice, twice in the name of the Lord. Name of the Lord. And here's where it gets very sweet. The Lord between me and thee. And I'm grateful. A sweet sister was encouraging my heart in this as well this week. But you know those cherubim, they reach over the mercy seat. What's between the cherubim? Him. The mercy. See? The Lord's between them. Think someday too, where will the Father be when I meet him? You know, that's my Father, but yet at the same time, that's the bride's Father-in-law. It's a double portion. Don't know exactly how all these things work. But oh, the love. Oh, the love. But see, Jesus will have his wife. And they will unite for all eternity. As I close that up, all I could do is say, thank you, Jesus. Oh, what will it be? What will it be to be there? Like I say, we haven't even really seen anything yet till you get to the 23rd. And then we get to the place where David It speaks of his love and how it surpassed everything that was even known upon this planet, the love that Jonathan and he had. The Lord will do that in us, brothers and sisters, and he's doing it. And as we, again, line upon line and precept upon precept, and I pray that this just is exciting to you, because this is the love of Jesus to you. And you're loved, and you're loved with so great a love. You're loved in such immense power and divine purpose in what Christ has for you. And the Lord to just hone us in, to not be distracted, as brother prayed. There's but one thing. There's but one love, and by the grace of God, let it be your first love. And oh, how the benefits will just flow in your life, all his benefits to you. The beauty of the relationships in your life as you stand for God, as you put him first. Yeah, there'll be trying times, but the Lord will always give beauty for ashes. Always will. He brings diamonds through the pressure. Amen? He brings the pure gold through the fire. And you stand in that. I want the best. I want him. He's the best. I want his best. By the grace of God, we want his purpose. We want his passion all over our life. Don't pass that up. By the grace of God, let's not pass it up. Amen? All right, let's stand and be dismissed.